DCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, it's taking place. The NBA draft. It happened last night. Do you have any idea what happened? That's literally... I'm not even going to kid you. I had to do my homework. I had to text several people during the draft. Todd, Daniel Salerson, of course, Jordan the intern. We were all on group text. I'm like, what's this mean? What does it go? We're going to do our very best to try to explain it for you. I can tell you this in the Cliff Notes version, which is how Jordan likes to study on things. The Cliff Notes version, very simple. Pelicans got one player yesterday and a bunch of draft picks. That's basically what you need to know. His name is Kyra Lewis.
They told me if I come in and work, I can play right away and just help me get close to my NBA dream. So I go in and work and just do what I can, and hopefully God bless me, I can fulfill that dream.
Now, when he was recruited to play for the Crimson Tide, he was only 16 years old. After 2 years of college basketball, he's still one of the youngest players in this draft. And Mike Schmidt said it. He is pure speed and quickness, great in transition, a good passer, can score, and also a solid defender. He hardly ever comes off the floor. And Nate Oates plays at a high rate of speed, so he gets up and down the floor. I think Kyra Lewis Jr. is another player that we could look back on this draft in years future and say, how did he go so low that he should have been higher up?
Ooh, I like what Jay Billis has to say there. Gus Kattengill with you, Jordan Kleber, and Mark Shafisi found his way over to the studio today. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gus. I was sweeping the halls. I saw you in here, so I just walked in. But, you know, you're talking about the draft. It was like the election returns
two weeks ago.
I didn't know what was going on.
I'm serious.
You know, the handful of players, now they got one player. Yeah. You didn't know what was going on.
They got
on.
This draft pick for that draft pick. I mean, we were kind of joking on our group text that Carver – basically, I think we'll be driving around the time that some of these draft picks come.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just, look, we're going to hook you up. I promise. Daniel Salerson, he's been, last night, what was it, like midnight, I think, is when he finished putting sound in for us and doing his homework. So it was one of those things I texted him this morning, guys, and I was like, so what exactly happened last night? And he goes, well, I can explain it to him. Like, better yet, how about you come on at 12:15 and tell us a little bit about it? So we're going to hear from him at 12:30, Mark. Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. He normally comes on Thursdays.
Yeah, they're finally going to play this week, I heard.
In a while.
Yes.
They take on Arkansas. Very interesting turn of events in 1 year's time, huh?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, penthouse to the outhouse. And that was quick. They didn't even go floor to floor. Somebody cut the cable and the elevator just dropped.
And on the other side, the Razorbacks, despite losing last week to Florida with Coach Pittman on the sideline due to COVID. They've been one of the stories of the SEC so far this season.
They've been
so
competitive, and they've played well, and it really tells you what coaching can do.
No Miles Brennan the rest of the way, so we will see. Look, Chris Blair's will break it
TJ Finley's last man standing.
I like it. I want to see both, right? Do you maybe play both as well in Johnson?
I think you do.
I want to see both, right?
You know, I think
give one game to another?
Go back to the Steve Ensminger and David Woodley days. I don't know, but why not play them both? They're not playing in the New Year's Day Bowl. They're not going to the playoffs. Find out what you have.
I need to know. I need to know what I have.
Do I need to recruit one quarterback this year or two?
Exactly. And I think one of the best ways to maybe even do that as well is, like I said, hey, TJ, you get this game. And the next game, you give it to somebody else, to give it to Johnson, just to see. I just want to know. Let's give him a week to prep, get ready, and all those things.
Or even how you did it when Tommy Hodson was there and Mickey Guidry was the second quarterback, he would get a series a half. But I think you'd want to play both guys and get both guys action because they are true freshmen and get a better evaluation on them before you, as you go into recruiting. And of course, in college football, you're always recruiting.
Tigers started out the week underdogs. They're now favored by 2.5 points against Arkansas. And the next few games that remain. After this Saturday at Texas A&M, host Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Maybe he'll be throwing this clipboard in Tiger Stadium. He's brought excitement. I tell you, it's exciting. They got no defense in Oxford. They can score.
Arena football offense. It's an arena team. All offense and no defense. That's exactly what it is. It's arena on a 100-yard field.
Final game of the season, at least right now, is Florida on the 12th. Let's see if they make up the Alabama game or not and all of that. So we'll see.
Yeah, but I would doubt they can make up too. I know they said they
I don't think LSU would mind if they don't have to play Alabama this year.
They talked about doing makeups on the Saturday SEC championship game. Well, right. Alabama's going to be in that game.
Exactly.
So they're not playing Alabama. Yeah,
quite honestly, look, it's fine. We'll see you next year.
They don't need to play Alabama this year.
That's how I feel.
That would have been Globetrotters Generals, in my opinion.
Ross Jackson will join us at 1:15. Mark, he is the host of Locked On Saints and also Canal Street Chronicles, the editor. We have, 15, 10, 20, 35 storylines going into this game. Or is it just one for you?
You know what? Obviously, the big story is, you know, Jameis Winston at quarterback. And after you saw what... how Sean Payton handled it last year with Bridgewater, mm-hmm. I really think they're going to be fine. You know, I think he'll be able to rein in Winston. I know he's more wild with his throws, but I don't think he's going to be throwing two and three picks a game with Sean Payton having his thumb on him.
Think it goes down as one of the best sound bites ever yesterday. Sean Payton on Drew Brees. Did you hear it? I know you're busy.
Actually, I didn't hear it. I was busy making real estate great again. I want to hear it. Yeah,
that's right. It's really good. Here, I'll play it.
Sean, can you share any updates on your plans at the quarterback position this
week? Triplett there. Drawing
no updates, Mike. I'm eating my bagel. I was hoping to be chewing it when you asked that question.
But you know,
for a long, suspenseful delay? Or
just chewing the bagel.
No update on Drew's injury status either, specifically?
Nope, nothing specific, yeah. Nothing there.
What kind of bagel is it? Everything bagel, or is it like sesame seed?
It's a poppy seed steamed bagel, which are hard to find, actually.
Mike Triplett trying hard, and Brett Martell trying to figure out what kind of bagel.
That is the next Saints T-shirt. Instead of do your job, chewing the bagel.
Instead of chewing the fat, chewing the bagel.
He needs to put that on one of the walls in the indoor practice facility.
Yeah.
Chewing the bagel.
Chewing the bagel. Look, I get it. It's him being coach, saying it doesn't behoove them to let people know.
But Mark, he added some humor to it, so I like it. It was fun.
I agree.
Sean Payton would be a great POW. Because he doesn't say anything. But he threw a little humor in it.
But sometimes
so it
he does, if you're listening and paying attention.
But and I know you have to ask the question, but everybody knows who's starting a quarterback.
There's no doubt.
I mean, everybody knows it's going to be number two.
I think so, too. It would make sense because you want to use Taysom Hill in the same capacity, but it's something to think about, though, Mark, because of this. We saw last year when Teddy Bridgewater took over as the starting quarterback, Taysom didn't see much action on the
field. Because he's the backup. And what if he gets hurt? You know, he gets taken out catching a pass over the middle and somebody, you know.
Jordan has offered his services as the backup to the backup of a quarterback.
That's what makes it. And that what makes it dangerous having Hill out there. And I think that's an argument for having another quarterback on the roster. Because I think Taysom Hill is much more valuable as a Swiss Army knife. Because to me, there's really no resume that says he can be consistent throughout a game throwing the football. He doesn't have that resume yet.
We're going to talk with Ross Jackson about this because he agrees with me on this. I actually think the Saints in the last 2 years, and including this season, right, last year when he got injured and now, are probably the best they can be at handling not having Drew Brees in this aspect of it, Mark. He's going to run the offense right now that you would ask, say, quote-unquote, to be the quarterback to be careful and not lose you the game. Well, he's going to be running that same offense. That's the offense Drew's been doing right now. It's a short passing game.
Yeah.
It's not from back in the day when you and I worked together, sir, where it was...
The ball's not going down the field.
Exactly right.
Yeah. You know,
this team couldn't play in the rain and the cold and outdoors and all that because they were very dependent on a passing game.
They're a team for all seasons now. They've got the running game and they've got the defense.
It's a short passing game.
And they've got the kicking game to bail them out if it's a close game or whatever. And it's a short passing game.
If you're 5-year starter... Number one overall draft pick and national championship quarterback can't throw a 5-yard slant, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. I mean, I get he had a season of a lot of picks last year. It's a different offense than what they're expecting. This is what Jameis Winston's going to be asked to do. Get it to Michael Thomas. Dump it to Alvin Kamara. Hand it off to Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, and at the end, hand it to Latavius Murray to close the game out.
And here's why I think you can maybe even expand more.
Because he can throw the ball downfield. the defense have a little bit more to think about.
And he's mobile. You can use some of the plays that we saw this year that I've been screaming that I would love to do. Jordan and I got into a little, I wouldn't say it was a debate. It was a debate.
Did you hit Jordan?
No, I didn't. Okay. I feel many times. You know that scene of Homer Simpson with Bart? Hands around on neck? Yeah. But I told him, I said, I'd like to see Drew Brees move out the pocket, just roll a little bit. You can use extended handoffs to where at the end of that, and it becomes a play action, you're out of the pocket, things of that nature. But we saw plays when the Packers played the Saints, in which Aaron Rodgers faked the handoff left, rolled right, threw it to the tight end, crossing left to right. Things like that. Jameis can do that.
Yes.
Jameis can absolutely do that. So you mentioned the deep ball. He's got the arm, you know.
At least to get him to think about it.
Do it off of play action.
You're not going to throw five or six a game. You throw one in the first quarter, they got to think about it the rest of the game.
So I think there's some areas that maybe we might be surprised at what we see. Ben Heisler's going to join us at 1:30 as he does every Thursday. We'll do a little fantasy football there. Andrea Legretta, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. They take on Tulsa in the House of Horrors tonight. That place is just not good.
And
they've won once there. Yeah. Tulane. It's a tough place. And look, though.
But the Tulane football program is stable.
They got a quarterback, Mark.
They do. Period. And that changed everything. And, Willie Fritz has got them on the right track where you're not going to have, a stock. They're not going to be 2-9 next year. They're at a competitive level and he's picking up his recruiting every year.
I think we've seen it affect LSU. Tulane, it's why one of the reasons head coach Billy Napier's done a good job when it comes to the Cajuns. But again, Levi was already a starting quarterback for him last year. If you came into this season with a new quarterback and you didn't have your full spring ball and you had to deal with COVID and not getting the full complement of work, you're going to struggle. I mean, Alabama is Bama. Everyone's like, Bama. Well, that guy played some games last year when Tua was injured. So, I mean, Mac Jones started some games last year. It's a big difference.
Even go to the Big Ten. Penn State hasn't won.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan's 1-3. It's just a crazy season. Look at
who was the quarterback for Ohio State last year? Exactly.
Yes.
Same quarterback field.
Yeah, Fields. Yeah. I mean, yes. You're right.
Yeah. If you have that guy, Trevor Lawrence, same quarterback.
If you got the quarterback, no problem. But with that said, did you see Clemson Notre Dame?
That was a good game.
That freshman is good.
Yeah, exactly. Spoils.
They're going to be fine next year when Trevor Lawrence is in the NFL.
Good luck trying to. Yeah, well, I tell you. But, Mark, and what you're seeing, too, that's the mold of the next QB, right? I mean, that's the mold. Some mobility, some agility. Got to have a gun. If you can learn to read defenses as well, I mean, that's what you want now. That is your typical, prototypical quarterback moving forward. It's not the stand in there, seven.
There's no more seven drop drops anymore.
Happen. Ball comes out quicker now and all of that stuff. So I am kind of curious and I'm interested. And look, let's be honest. It's Falcon hate week, man.
That's it. And they're 3-1 under Raheem Morris. So they've turned things around after the 0-5 start and getting rid of their head coach.
Raheem Morris said it best this week when he met with media. He said,
chewing the bagel. No.
We don't like them. They don't like us. And that's what it is.
That's good. I like that in sports. I love that.
You and I, my gosh, I don't know. We go back almost 20 years here, man.
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. You're older.
We've died, exactly. I've gotten older. But one of the things, man, from when I first met you to even now, that rivalry's always been like that.
Yes.
You need a legal pad, right? To list the games, the rivalries, the moments. We'll do this tomorrow on the show to kind of just list some of your top three. I don't know if you can even make the top three. I think Gleason just is on its own.
Yeah, that's coming out of Katrina. Okay, that's just special. Yeah.
I think Shy Tuttle's last year, right? Shoving a noodle arm down was great, right? I mean, so,
but
I don't know.
One of the things I think about is Dick Nolan's first year. They had a chance to have a winning record, but that was the Big Ben, Bartkowski, at the end of the game. And then the other game that year, the Saints had a chance to win. Falcons came back and won on a pass interference on Maurice Spencer. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when Bobby was with the Falcons, they came in on Sunday night.
When he did the flying. The flying bird.
And Martin
Anderson, I still give him
Martin Anderson kicked 3 50-yard field goals against the Saints. The press go, look at this. We got Chip Lowe Miller. Yeah. Chip Wide Miller.
Yeah. Chip Wide Miller.
Exactly. And they fire, fire Bobby. They fire Martin Anderson. And they go in and beat them up.
Yeah.
And then last year, they come out of nowhere and beat the Saints in the Dome. I mean,
I think that helps. I think that helps, right? Because that's a thing this week. By the way, 11 players on the injury list. They were banged up. I see. I waited to the last part of the segment to bring that up. But Saints are banged up.
But the only one that matters isn't playing, though. I mean, the one that matters the most, number nine. So.
Yeah, but a lot of those other guys are banged up. I'll give you the full injury report when we come back. It's hour one of the Sports Hangover. It's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. When we come back, Daniel Salison will explain what happened last night with the Pelicans in the NBA draft. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Great year-end savings start now. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Men, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. I paid the clinic a visit in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity building, and from Andrea's warm greeting to the understandable info from Shane, I learned how low T can impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Improve quality of life and relationships. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know you heard it on the Sports Tank. Over.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking. Served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
Legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
13th pick overall, the New Orleans Pelicans select Mr. Kyra Lewis yesterday. After being drafted, had this to say about coming here.
I know this is a great fit. Just the way they play, the young guys they have, playing the open floor, wanting to compete. New Orleans is a great city. They love basketball. So I feel like this is a great situation that I'm going into, and I couldn't be more happy.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll hear more from Kyra, Stan Van Gundy on this as well, including David Griffin and Trajan Langdon. So don't go anywhere. We'll hear from that. But to help us break down a little bit and explain what happened last night, Daniel Salerson was with us yesterday on our draft special. Now we bring him back because, Daniel, first off, good afternoon. Secondly, I think a lot of people need explaining. How are you? Hello, Daniel. Daniel going once. All right, let's try again here in a quick second to hear from Daniel. I'll play this in the meantime, though. David Griffin trying to explain what happened last night without kind of really being able to explain. You'll get what I'm talking about here.
Well, I think what I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, Christian, is I'm going to have Trajan speak more specifically on Kyra. What I'd like to touch base on is we're not allowed to discuss or answer most of the questions you're going to want to relative to all of the trades and everything that went down. And there's so many different balls in the air. It's very difficult to get into a great deal of detail on very much. Big picture wise, I would tell you that there's an awful lot left to be done. Obviously, with free agency starting as quickly as it does, we have some targets in mind there, and we've got some other trade conversations going on as well. So there's a great many things happening all at one time. And the one thing we know for certain is that Kyra Lewis is somebody that we paid a great deal of attention to all season long. We've been a very large fan of his game for quite some time. And as we went through the draft process and learned more of who he was as a human being, we were very, very confident that he fits everything that we care most about from a character standpoint and from a way that he approaches the game, his work rate. Everything about him really speaks to who we want to be from a DNA standpoint. So we're just ecstatic that he was available. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Trajan Langdon and let him get into more specifics, Christian. But that's a very good question.
So there you go. There's a little explanation from David as to what took place. Now let's see if we can find Daniel again. Daniel, going once. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Gus. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. So we went into the draft yesterday with a bunch of picks, made a couple of trades. Some you can talk about, some you can't for David Griffin. Bottom line, Kyra Lewis, he is a Pelican, right? He is ours?
I can confirm that he is a Pelican. One of the few things we can confirm from last night, but... Yeah, it was a very exciting pick. You know, I think they were really high on Kyra Lewis Jr. from Alabama, how quick he is as a point guard, able to facilitate. I think they liked how he could even play alongside Lonzo Ball there as a two-guard combo, the way he can run with Zion Williams. You heard David Griffin explain his thoughts, and you'll play what Trajan Langdon had to say. But they were really high on Kyra Lewis. This was the guy they wanted at 13, and that's who they got.
So you kind of mentioned it there with Lonzo Ball, and obviously you look at the roster, and the first thing that probably hits a lot of Pelicans fans is there's a lot of guards here. What did Stan Van Gundy say yesterday a little about that?
Well, I mean, you can never have too many guards. I think that's the one thing that you have. And also keep in mind, David Griffin said in his brief appearance, that or Trajan said it too, is that they're not done yet. And so this is not going to be the team that you see here in the next few days. Like, free agency starts tomorrow. You can start signing on Sunday. And so it'll be interesting to see which guards stay and which guards go. If that is the case, maybe they keep all these guards. I'm not sure. But, you know, this is a guy that, again, this is a guy that can also shoot. You really couldn't tell a lot because he was a guy that drove to the paint, but he can create his own shot. He blends speed, acceleration, body control. I mean, pick and roll, he's really got the high pick and roll, something that he can work on, especially with a guy like Jackson Hayes. Great on-ball defender. So there's a lot of things that works well. But, again, Lonzo can be more off the ball. Kyra can be more on the ball. And I think it could work well. I mean, that's where Stan Van Gundy has to get creative with those two. But I feel like in this league, having guard depth is super important, something that, you know, this team really didn't have last year after Lonzo Ball. So I think it definitely helps that you have a bunch of guards now on the roster.
I think one of the things that really stood out to me, and I opened up the show by playing Jay Billis's comments on Kyra Lewis, in which it ends with him saying, we're going to look back in a couple of years, and he may be one of those players that you say, how did he fall so low? I like the sound of that. You went over some of the names of the players that have been picked at 13 in the past, and let's see if that happens. But I think what stood out to me in watching the highlights why Jay Billis spoke was what you just said. I saw shooting ability, but what I like more than anything else, I do like driving in the paint ability as well. I think when you look at the bubble, and we've talked about this, Daniel, the teams that made a run, the teams that gave us great games, were led by point guards that could do that. They could shoot the outside shot, but you know what? When the bleep hit the fan, they went to the paint, and they got it all, you know, that he can finish. And I like seeing that because – just like we were talking yesterday with the Jackson Hayes missed dunks, how many layups did this team miss last year? So I like to see a point guard being able to lay it up and actually get it in the glass, you know?
Yeah, he searches for those high percentage shots, and he can do that with the crossovers, the hesitations that you probably saw in those highlight reels that you were able to watch from him. So that's something that you definitely, and he's also good at kicking it out. So not only can he finish in the paint, but if he sees an open guy, which you should have a little bit more shooters on the squad, being able to penetrate and kick out. So, again, this is the guy that they want. The quickness, people talk about how fast he is. He models his game off after De'Aaron Fox and Lou Williams. If you get a guy like De'Aaron Fox on your team, you're certainly going to be in good shape. So he's also very young. I mean, the fact that he's only 19 years old. When he was born, J.J. Redick was a senior in high school in 2001. So you put that in perspective when they both are on the team together. But this is a young guy that has a lot of potential. And we'll see how much he plays next year, but he's certainly going to be a guy that the Pelicans will have for a long time.
Speak with Daniel Salison, Pelicans Radio Network here, breaking down a little bit of yesterday. So we did see, you know, the reports, I guess is how we have to say it, some of the trades that went this way and that way and all those different things. Look, I look at it like this, Daniel, is that in a draft that you and I talked about yesterday, and we had so many guests come on and say the same thing, that maybe wasn't as deep, maybe waiting for picks in a couple of seasons, in a couple of drafts where maybe the depth is better, may not be a bad thing. And quite honestly, here's the other part of it. You already have a young roster, and you already have a roster. Well, where are they going to go? So why waste a pick, perhaps, on a player that you're maybe not exactly in love with, and really waste it to the point where maybe he may be better off going somewhere else for a team that actually can use him? Am I right on that?
Right, I think people are a little confused at the fact that the reports were that they used the 24th pick that they acquired reportedly in the Drew Holiday deal was for a point guard. But again, that was picked for another team. They were talking about why the Pelicans are keep drafting guards. It wasn't really the Pelicans. Again, I guess they feel like, look, when you had Dell Demps on this roster as your GM, a lot of people were complaining about how, you know, every year this team would finish in the lottery and have no draft picks. And now people, mm-hmm. you hear some people think, why are they stacking up draft picks? Well, when you look at some of these teams that are, how many draft picks is taking to land a superstar? In a smaller market, sometimes it might not be the case where you're going to be able to attract the guys. But David Griffin is loading up a ton of picks to be ready for those situations in 2 or 3 years where they can go and trade for someone and offer a bevy of picks and still have more to use. So the one that you reportedly acquired from Milwaukee and all the picks you got, the ones that you got from the Lakers in the Anthony Davis trade, plus your own that you haven't traded away just yet, those are picks that are going to be used, whether it's, you know, being traded away for a veteran or a superstar or ones that you can use every year when trying to groom a culture and a roster. You know, everyone talks about culture. That starts with the draft. With some of these mid-market teams, that starts with drafting guys and not relying on free agents that you're going to be able to land every year. It's just not the case for every team. So I always, like I said yesterday, I preach a little bit of patience, but David Griffin is stocking up on a ton of assets that down the line I think are going to be very beneficial for New Orleans.
Well, I think the key is what's next now, Daniel. We'll close with you on this. It's what Trajan said, and you mentioned what David kind of hinted at here as well. They're not done. So refresh the Twitter feed, tweet deck, however you like to look at it, because over the next couple of days, what takes place, Daniel?
Yeah, what takes place is that tomorrow you'll be able to start negotiating for free agents, and they'll be able to sign their contracts on Sunday. And also, I mean, trades can still happen just because, you know, we thought there would be a ton more flurry in the top, you know, 15, there weren't any trades for that. But Trajan Langdon talked about how hard it was to trade up into that area. And so, you know, there's still, you know, teams that might be trading their superstars. Look at the Rockets with the rumors with James Harden or Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So just because it didn't happen last night doesn't mean these trades can't happen over the next week. I still think you're going to see a lot of activity from the Pelicans and from teams around the league. And, you know, David Griffin says he has his eye on some free agents. He still has some maneuvering to do, so I don't think they're done. And I trust that David Griffin's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. So, yeah, keep refreshing your Twitter. Don't fall for any fake accounts. And, again, enjoy the ride. It's going to be a lot of fun these next few days to see what the roster looks like, because it's going to look different than what it was last night after that.
That's why on Monday I'm going to get you back on and we'll see what takes place, because I think there's going to be at least one wow or two oh wows that happened over the weekend in between NFL games and college football. Because as you mentioned, tomorrow you can start making some deals with some free agents and things of that nature. So stay tuned. But again, when literally the man running basketball operations and the general manager tell you we are not done, believe them. They're not done. So let's see what takes place. And it's kind of what we've been preaching the last 2 days.
I just want these deals to be official so I can actually talk about them with you. I can talk about the number 39 pick last night being traded, the number 42 pick being traded, but that's all I can talk about.
We still need that fingerprint technology to still work for you in that building, sir. So on that note, we'll let you go so you don't get in trouble.
Appreciate it, Gus. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network. But hey, look, that's the thing. When you look at Mark, We talked. I used this as an analogy yesterday.
We got 2 minutes
before the bottom of the hour break. I said the Saints are a Super Bowl contender and a destination for free agents, a destination where people will take less money, a destination where people will restructure their contracts. That took almost 20 years. I mean, 06 to 20. I mean, we're 4 years away from 20 years. I mean, it takes a while to build that. And David Griffin just got here last year.
And that's the Pelicans' version of Jim Finks. And
correct.
He's got to build, rebuild the organization. Really, right. And
it's funny you said that, Finks, because he did. That's really where the winning started.
Finks put the Saints on the credibility map. He just did. And I think you'd say the same thing about David Griffin. You know, Tom Benson found his Jim Finks. Gail Benson found her Jim Finks.
Yeah, because and that's where it starts, and you have to sort of build and look at it from that direction. I mean, look, becoming a championship contending team doesn't happen overnight, and it takes time. Plus, in this kind of market, as we talked about yesterday, Mark, you're not just going to go do that and, you know, spend over the luxury tax. I like this. Okay, you have a bunch of picks in the next several years. Great. You know what? Zion and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo, whoever, they'll be in their third, fourth, fifth season.
Yeah, Zion
with
Williams
the
is still 20
together.
Years old.
Exactly
so he's
right.
Gonna, he's
yeah.
going to grow into the leader. Right. He'll be at 24, 25.
Exactly right. All right, Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, is on deck. LSU is going to play football again. It's been a while. And no shortage of storylines there. You take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. We'll speak with the voice of the Tigers next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Come
on, the rise and win. Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Whether it's 12 miles to the Pee Wee football comeback of a lifetime, 80 miles to your first hole-in-one, or more like 8 shots to the first hole, whether it's 240 back road miles to sleeping under the stars, or just a few blocks to the grocery store, Marathon has the fuel to keep your engine running at peak performance. Because you never know where life is going to take you. For quality fuel through every mile, fill up at Marathon.
G-Sean, Jay Will, and Zubin.
I think Kevin Warren will be on the right side of history, I think. And I say this because I don't think we're going to have the data in a month and a half from now.
No, you're not.
To support long-term what the effects of COVID-19 can be. All I'm saying is you have to look to somebody that is experienced and has expertise. I'm not saying in this field, and listening to people that actually gives medical advice.
G-Sean, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
106 miles to Chicago. We've got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
11 a.m. Saturday morning, Tigers will be at Arkansas playing a little football game. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, joins us. Chris, always appreciate the time, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back on with you, and it's good to be actually talking about playing a football game on a Saturday, which seems like forever since we've done that.
Yeah, it's been a while. Obviously, bye week and then COVID issues with the Alabama game, but you'll get in there. We're going to talk football, I promise, but I see the outpouring of support, and so many people were happy last night. Skylar May is going to the Hawks. I want to get your thoughts, man. You've called these games. He had so many big moments, from a big dunk to big threes to you name it. Cody Worsham did a great piece on him being such a scholar athlete and all that. Just your thoughts, man, on him being able to get that chance that somebody took on him in the NBA last night.
Well, first of all, I'm thrilled beyond belief and happy for Skylar. And, you know, I know I've talked about it the 4 years he was at LSU. You know, there's so much. We're all dated. We cover sports. We cover college sports. You know, it's big money, it's big business, and all kinds of conversations about paying players, how much they're exploited, and I get all that. I understand both sides of that argument. But for me, Skylar represents what a student-athlete is, and I've said that about him hundreds of times, you know, on interviews as well as in the game. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see him go in the second round, get a chance to play at the next level, which, you know, if you remember, Will Wade's been saying that for the last 2 to 3 years, that the improvement and the development of Skylar Mays was going to give him a shot to play professionally. Sometimes a lot of people wondered whether or not that would be, you know, overseas or whether that would be in the NBA. And so going in the second round, I think, is a big win for those student-athletes who, again, come to school to learn, to broaden their horizons, as well as play college athletics. And for that, I think he is an absolute wonderful poster child. And, you know, he's got the best of both worlds. He's going to get a chance to see if he can stick at the next level. If not, he'll be back in med school, and soon it will be Dr. Skylar Mays. So it's just a great story and a great example of good things happening in college athletics.
Speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSC Tigers, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do there as well. I'm with you. I think the guy can play. And some of those intangibles, they translate and they cross over. All right, to the football field we go, sir. And, wow, where do we start? How many storylines we got here? It's almost like down the road here on the interstate, Chris. Quarterback is a story. It's been a story for LSU all season. And it looks like Miles Brennan is not going to play the rest of the season. So how does Coach O approach the final three games here?
Well, he talked about it last night on his weekly radio show that, you know, barring a miraculous recovery, Miles is going to try to give it a go. He's just not able to get over the pain. And there's going to have to be some remedy, whether it be rehab or possibly surgery, which will come at a later date. None of that is definite, but that's just kind of the feeling. So he talked about how Coach Steve Ensminger, Coach Scott Linehan, you know, have kind of changed how they work over the last couple of weeks with both T.J. Finley and Max Johnson, because now it's not about, okay, getting some reps and getting used to the offense. I mean, it is their offense. Going to be one of these guys' offense, maybe both of these guys' offense in a particular game. So they've kind of, you know, moved them from being the fill-in quarterback now to being the quarterback for possibly the rest of the season. And when you look at T.J. Finley, I mean, he did a great job against South Carolina. Then he looked like a true freshman, a little in over his head on the road at Auburn in a game where things just kind of snowballed out of control very quickly based on just one bad throw, not covering up the football on the sack, that it led to the scoop and score, and then suddenly you're down 21 points and they couldn't recover. So, again, you know, you're hoping that the running game can take some pressure off of your quarterback, whether it's TJ or Max. And that was really the recipe for success against South Carolina. They ran the ball well. The offensive line really played well at the point of attack, and it allowed Finley to get more comfortable, throw a couple of throws early, and then we saw him play excellent. So, you know, it's not a different story. Yes, not having Miles Brennan is a big factor, but it really comes down to LSU dominating at the point of attack on the offensive line. Now, you get Dare Rosenthal reinstated a couple of days ago. Coach O said last night he expects him to play. I don't think he will start. I don't know how much he will play after being away from the team for some time, but it's got to be started at the offensive line position. That can take a ton of pressure off either TJ or Max. And it also would allow John Emery, Ty Davis Price, and even a close-to-healthy Chris Curry be involved in the offense as well.
Chris, the attitude of this team, as you've covered this team and watch this team, obviously not the kind of season that they expected. Talk about that in this up-and-down season and now just basically this three-week bye in between games.
Yeah, I think that it all got started this week with Terrace Marshall asking to address the team, having a team-only meeting, because Terrace is a guy who's not super outspoken, but obviously leads by example on the field. And so when I heard that he wanted to talk to the team, it's obvious that he wasn't happy, and that's what's going to force him to be vocal about it. And from what I understand, you know, he basically said, hey, guys, I'm here to play, and I'm here to win. That's why I put on the purple and gold. And that should be why you're here. And you know, it can't be said that LSU gave it their all in all five games this year. It's just not true. Mm-hmm. And I think Terrace was calling them on that, and I think he was holding them responsible. And to be honest with you, when you look at the first five games, it just appeared that everybody was looking to somebody else to be that leader. You didn't have to worry about that with Joe Burrow last year, whether it was offense or defense. He'd get in your face and hold you accountable. And it just felt like early on this season in the first 5 weeks, that it was like, okay, well, I'm sure this guy will do that or that guy will do that. And I think Terrace finally looked around and said, it's going to take me to get it started. So I expect, again, on the fact that Coach O's 12-0 following a loss, albeit a three-week break before he gets a chance to move that to 13-0, that the Tigers are going to be ready to play, because one of the messages Coach O's talked about all week is Arkansas circles this game. This is one of their biggest games of the year, and they feel better about their chances in 2020 than they have in a long, long time. Probably got to go back to 2014, 2015. And he's told the team, guys, you're going to get a fight. Because even in the loss to Florida when they were getting their eyes beat in last week, Arkansas late in that game was still swinging. They were still fighting. That's very different from the Razorback teams over the last three or four seasons. So I'm expecting to see LSU. Will it be perfect? Will they, you know, suddenly become this juggernaut of a team? I think that's a little too much to ask. But I think as far as playing hard and being focused on doing what they need to do, I get a sense that's what you're going to see Saturday. I don't know what the outcome of the game will be, but I think LSU's going up there with a mission. And that may be a little different than any of the other games so far this year.
Speak with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, as we wrap up here, as LSU will take on Arkansas. You know, I host Arkansas Game Day on CST, and I'm with you. It's been interesting to sort of see the transformation that the Razorbacks have sort of had. And, you know, taking what you just said, maybe it's the right game that you sort of need, right, after a players-only meeting where you know you're going to be challenged. You know it's going to be the quote-unquote street fight, and, you know, they're going to punch you. Are you ready to punch back? Maybe that's kind of what you sort of need, Chris, to set up the foundation for next year. Because I'm with you 100% on this. When I speak about the Tigers this season, I say, look, when you lose that many starters, not just to the NFL, but guys that have snaps, that took lumps, Chris. They went into Tuscaloosa last year to play Bama after getting beat so many years and hearing it about it and losing games. Those lumps toughen you up, and leaders are born. Well, the guys playing this season, they haven't had to go through that. So maybe this is sort of that moment, maybe not even for this season, Chris, but next year, and maybe this is the right game for them at the right time right now, right? Whoever this quarterback's going to be next year and stuff, hey, can you handle a team that they think they're ready to take a next step? Can you handle it?
Yeah, Coach O has said many times that he likens this season to 2017. You know, that was his first year as full-time head coach after the interim season. And they started building, you know, a championship program. And 2 years later, not only did they build a championship program, that they built one of the greatest college football teams of all time. And when you look at it, I talked to some people in Arkansas earlier this week. I said, guys, when you watch the game Saturday, look and see how many guys you will be watching in a LSU uniform for the first time across the field on both sides of the ball. It's a young team. It's an inexperienced team. Some of them were on the periphery last year when you had the 15-0 season, but they weren't carrying the load. So I think to your point, some of this adversity is going to, basically harden and improve not only for the back end of this season, which we all certainly hope is the case, but moving forward into 2021. And again, I get the sense that when they travel tomorrow to get on the plane, the message has been sent. If you're not ready to go up there and play and fight for 60 game minutes, no need climbing this steel horse and flying up there.
60 seconds here. What do you think would be the key of keys? Is it just kind of what we've been talking about here, the right mindset, or do you think when it comes to the Razorbacks here is something that you think LSU can take advantage of?
Well, I think that Arkansas has shown this year that they're willing to rush three and put everybody back in coverage, and that's why they beat the SEC with 13 interceptions. Will they open up the game like that? You know, I got to believe Coach Pittman knows that if it's that obvious, LSU's going to line up and run the football. But at some point, you're going to have your chances to run the football because I think you'll have them outnumbered at the point of attack. So I think LSU's got to have a strong run game early and often. I expect Eric Gilbert to be more involved earlier and more often than we've seen him at times this year, because I don't think Arkansas has an answer for him as far as personnel. But you got to be careful. You got two freshman quarterbacks, whoever gets the start, whoever plays, against a very opportunistic Arkansas secondary. So to me, you don't want to put too much pressure on your freshman quarterback to win the game with his arm. Use that trio of running backs. Use some of those guys up front on the offensive line to control the football and be able to take your shots when Arkansas says they're going to put 6, 7, or 8 in the box.
11 a.m. SEC Network, if you want to watch it. Of course, the LSU Sports Radio Network with Mr. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice. Chris, very soon, hoops along with football, sir. You'll be busy getting into it. So it's right around the corner, man. Safe travels and looking forward to the call.
No complaints in 2020. I appreciate that.
That is for sure. Take care, man. Mark, some big news in the NBA we got to get to here as well before we hit the break. Jordan Kleberg, wow.
Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted a few minutes ago, Golden State's Klay Thompson has suffered a season-ending Achilles tear.
Look, we talked yesterday, Mark, about the Warriors.
That's coming up in the injury last year.
The first thing I'm thinking, too, man, that's tough to come. Now, and you wonder, right?
You wonder
trying to come back from the injury.
I'm just wondering, how do you break it up? I mean, knee, Achilles, he's on the other side of 30.
Well, that style of basketball now, that, I mean, Wiseman is a big. So, yeah. I mean, are you going more to, like, Denver, you know, pick and roll kind of things? You got the shooter still with Curry, but
you thought they would be a factor in the West.
That's a huge loss.
So
for the second straight season, Klay Thompson is not going to be playing basketball. Yikes! Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's fall savings time at Barker Kia, which means we're serving up some delicious deals on some of the hottest models around. You can drive home in a new 2020 Kia Sportage LX and take $5,000 off the MSRP. Or get into a new 2020 Kia Soul LX with Apple CarPlay and pay just $69.99. Or how about a new 2020 Kia Forte LXS for only $69.95. Please come check out the all-new Kia K5, Seltos, and the hottest SUV on the market, Telluride. And don't forget the Stinger. Kia models with award-winning style and plus, they all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And all for the prices that will have our competition asking for the recipe. So come save big during the fall savings time sales event at Barker Kia and Homer or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people. Remember that strength and laughter.
Warranty is limited. Powertrain warranty. See Kia.com. Retailer for details. Stock number 2018-241. MSRP 25640. 2225. Deal to discount. 2750. Kia Customer Care. Stock number 2018-099. MSRP 2038. 885. Deal to discount. 2500. Kia Customer Care. Stock number 2018-086. MSRP 2685. 1940. Deal to discount. 1750. Kia Customer Care.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Our thanks to Daniel Salison explaining a little bit of what happened.
Well, not much.
Did you understand?
Basically, he said, I can't confirm or deny anything. He didn't really say much. Man. They drafted Kyra Lewis. That's what he said.
If you remember the voice, that's Mark Shafisi joining us today in studio here. He found his way.
Yeah, you moved to studio.
I'm sorry. Jordan knows.
Yeah, I was not going to go to Aspen Weight Loss Clinic. Is there Gus in there? No.
Jordan knows.
They moved.
Jordan knows. I sometimes don't know what day of the week it is. So. Anyway, Jordan just brought up the news for Klay Thompson, if you're just joining us. Achilles tear. He went down yesterday with apparent leg injury is what they reported. Well, that leg injury turns out to be an Achilles following a blown knee.
See you next year. Yeah.
So, you can imagine how you're feeling over there. Let's quickly kind of catch you up. Top of next hour, Mark, you and I are going to go into some storylines because it is Falcon Hate Week. No quarterback spoke yesterday. I know. So we'll talk about last year, the last time the Falcons were in the Dome and all that. So we're going to get to some storylines here, but I want to play a lot of the sound yesterday following the draft pick, Kyra Lewis, and we heard from David Griffin as to why he liked him. Trajan Langdon spoke at length about him as well. The general manager for the Pelicans talked about how quick he is on the basketball court.
That's a good question. I don't know that he'll be the fastest. He was probably, I think we thought he was the fastest guy in the draft, but that wasn't really the reason why. It obviously was a huge characteristic, which plays a big part in the game of basketball, being able to push pace and being able to get by at will and get in the paint, put a lot of pressure on the defense. But the character, the competitive nature, how much he's gotten better, not only last year to this year, but within this year. I think I saw him down at the Battle for Atlantis early on, and the strides that he made with the new coach from the first month of the season to the last month of the season was tremendous. So his ability to pick up stuff, learn, implement it, and really make an impact on winning was intriguing to us, the character of the kid. So it wasn't just the elite speed, the ability to make other people better, the ability to shoot the ball. All that together we think is going to have a big impact for his success at this level.
Pelicans general manager Trajan Langdon was asked who this Kyra Lewis reminded him of.
Yeah, I think a guy that our scouting group has compared him to is De'Aaron. In terms of his speed, ability to shoot it from the perimeter and really pick up, I think when you watch a lot of film of him, he is light, but he does really avoid the screens on defense and really gives effort. So I think he's going to be a guy that can play both sides of the ball and really put a lot of pressure on the defense, pushing in transition, attacking switches, and really getting downhill off pick and roll play, especially in the middle of the court. So I'm sure Stan and his staff are going to put him in positions to when he can do those things and really be useful for our team on the court in terms of creating and making other guys better.
Personality-wise, how is Kyra Lewis?
Great question, Doug. I think for us, and we've always talked about with our culture here, is we want to bring in high-character, hardworking, competitive young men. And I think Kyra really fits that here. He really works hard. He wants to get better. When you talk to him, he's soft-spoken, obviously small-town kid, but you can tell he has a desire to be great and be the best that he can be, and those are the kind of people that we want here.
Mark, you sort of mentioned, and we were talking a little bit at the beginning of the show, the similarities and really what's worked over on the other side of that parking lot there for the Saints. Mickey Loomis, the trust factor, working together, obviously, with the general manager, ownership, coach as well. The draft, you're lucky. I mean, you do your homework. You try to find the right type of fits and players, personality, character traits, talent. Sometimes they got to fall to you, too, and you just got to pick right at the right time, you know?
No, that's exactly right. And usually in the NBA, I don't know what the stat is, but most second round picks are useless.
Yeah,
they don't make a team. But obviously, this as Sean Payton would say, they have a vision for this young man, and you know
the vision.
He's good at chewing bagels, but they have a plan. They have an infrastructure now in the front office, and they're building for the future when they have a chance. You know, years down the line, where hopefully, you know, they win the 50-plus win season or at the trade line before that with 30-plus wins, to pull a trigger and bring a difference maker in to make a playoff push.
Exactly right. Building those assets and building that bank. Trajan Langdon on how Kyra fell to them.
Well, we did think he might go ahead of us, but he was definitely a target of ours. And for him to get to us, we're extremely ecstatic. He was a guy that we followed up the year, watched a ton of tape on, and our whole scouting group did a lot of work and really liked him. Griff talked a little bit about his personality, his character, very hardworking, small-town kid. And for him to excel at Alabama like he did in his 2 years when he reclassified up from high school was kind of tremendous. And that just shows his work rate and ability to adapt to two different coaches in a small amount of time as well. So we love the elite speed that he's going to bring, the ability to shoot it and score it, and the ability to get in the paint and make others better. That's one thing that he really talked about when he spoke with them, is loves getting paint touches and getting other guys shots and opportunities to score.
I don't know about you. I love that. I love hearing that. Like I said, when I saw the highlights of this kid, the fact that he can drive down the lane and paint, because that shows me confidence, no fear. I mean, get in there. And Mark, it still is. We can overcomplicate things. Coaches can overcomplicate things. Media can players can overcomplicate it. The easiest way to get 2 points in the NBA is a layup.
That's it.
That I know of. You're laying it off the glass.
You're
I'm going to guess a dunk, yeah, but you can still miss a dunk.
But you're not going to live on jump shooting because it's not going to be there every time. And, you know, all the stuff they said about Kyra Lewis, they would have said that about any player they drafted, and that's all good. But the thing I liked, and it coincides with what you said, is his quickness. Because I think sometimes in sports, it's better to be quicker than fast. Man. And I think that will help him get to the cup. And if he, you know, I know nobody wants to get hit, but if he can take the beating that he's going to take going to the basket, it's not as much now in the NBA as it used to be. That would really be an asset for this team.
I know they're comparing or saying that it reminds you of De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to go a little bit further back. And it's one of the things that really stood out to me, and it's why it made that team so difficult to beat for so many years. You remember the Spurs?
Yes.
Back in the day when, even with the Admiral, but Tony Parker. The evolution of Tony Parker under Popovich when he came in very raw and all that. Jordan, do you remember one of the things, especially even in the days of AD or CP me, what did Tony Parker do at the end of the game, 40 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute left? He'd either find a right guy or he would drive to the basket and lay in. I mean, and you would be like, son of a. I mean, he's like, he just took it to the rim.
Kick it back to Ginobili. I'll get it to Duncan. I'll go to the
glass. You're watching the games in the bubble this year. Murray for the Nuggets. I mean, when the stuff hit the fan, they went to the basket.
And that's what you need. That was why.
You've got to have a guy there. When Lonzo Ball played his best this year, he went to the basket.
Sunday, I was watching a rerun of him, and it just caught my attention. I flipped it and saw it. It was a 30 by 30 on the Pistons, the Bad Boys.
Yeah.
I forgot how great Isaiah Thomas was.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had all the thugs, Lambeer, Mahorn, and all that. But Thomas made that team go because he was so tough, because he wasn't afraid to go to the basket. And he got chewed up. He had to retire at the age of 32 because of all the injuries. But as much as the skill set he had, and he had a lot, he was fearless. He would go to the basket, knew he was going to get hit, got hit, but he ran that team and controlled that team.
The answer to this day, one of the best plays I've ever seen, was the answer versus the Hornets. Here's the Sixers, there, and he gets a rebound. He's skies high. He's on the opposite. This is when the media could sit on the court behind the basket. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there in the playoff game. We had just done Draft Fest. I get over there, and it's a sellout crowd, and here he comes. So the Hornets take a shot on the opposite end of the court, over there by, like, the loading dock. And you just see Iverson go up, two-hand, grab the rebound, and next thing you know, you see everybody transitioning towards you. You don't see him. I see P.J. Brown looking back, Jamal McGlue. Everyone's looking backwards. Somewhere in traffic, all of a sudden, you just hear off the glass and him looking and staring at people. And you go, oh, my. To this day, that was the fastest I've ever seen anyone in person grab a rebound, fly through people. But to your point, that guy got every injury because that's what he did. He just drove.
He was a kamikaze.
Yeah, but you couldn't stop him.
No, you couldn't.
I don't know if that's what this is or not. But look, again, I know he's a guard. I know he's a point guard.
But they need paint play from the backcourt.
That's the question he was asked. Final bite. We'll go to the top hour break here. Trajan Langdon on Lonzo and Kyra. Can they coexist?
Yeah, I think this is a guard league. It's really fast-paced, a lot of possessions. And I think when you look on our roster now, we have a lot of guard play, a lot of guys that can play together, can make plays that are skilled, can handle the ball, and can make shots. And I think when you see the way that this league is trending, the more players that you can have on the floor with speed and skill gives you a better chance to score and get up and down the floor and make plays for not only themselves but for other players on the team. So we're excited about how our players are going to complement each other coming into the next season.
Hour one in the books has been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. Gus Cadengill, Mark Shafisi, Jordan Cleaver. We'll be back with hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided.